I always count it a privilege to be given the opportunity to speak. Anyone that's been up here knows that it is probably more profitable for the one studying for the lesson than it will be for you, and it's my hope and prayer tonight that you'll gain something from it. I'd also like to take this opportunity to thank the congregation for their love and kindness that they've shown me and my family as we've moved here. You guys have made it a very welcome place for us, and we love being with you and worshiping the Creator. Katie and I, a few years ago, had the opportunity to go to Washington, D.C. and toured the place where they actually manufacture currency. And I didn't realize that there was such a painstaking process, even to the research that they have given in the design of currency. And so it was fascinating to me. And then it was a few months later, I ran across an article that talked about what the Secret Service does. They're the ones that go after the counterfeiters and really study everything there is to know about our currency. And it was an article about how these federal agents are trained to identify the counterfeit. Interestingly enough, they're only given authentic U.S. bills to examine. They don't flood their tables in their study with fakes and copies and reprints. It's only the original bills that they spend their time on. The experts went into further detail of the method that they explain, and it's a four-part process for them. And it's simply touch, tilt, look through, and look at. And those are the four methods that they use when they're determining counterfeits from the authentic bills. They feel the bill. Its unique cotton-based paper is easily identified, and most counterfeits find it difficult to replicate that same feel. But just using their hands is not enough. It requires further inspection for them to determine. They tilt the bill to reveal holographic markings that contain very minute details that can only be viewed from an alternate perspective. Next, they look through the bill. They actually hold it up to the light to reveal even more distinct markings. Lastly, they look at the bill. Their focus is mainly on the portrait of the bill and its background patterns. It would take them much longer to become proficient in counterfeit identification if they gave their time over to looking at all of the counterfeits that come in to the United States. So they give themselves over to a complete study and an examination of only the authentic article. I think it's very easy to tell where this is going. And I wonder how much more spiritually developed I might be if I took the same approach to studying the original church. And that approach of its identifying marks instead of trying to keep up with all the examples of counterfeit religion. First, using the touch method, and I don't want to try to parallel this to some internal feeling somebody gets about their religion or something that's better felt than told. That's not the way I'll use touch in the spiritual sense. But in Acts 17:27, which Jeff happened to read, it says, "So that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us." Grope in the Greek there is a meaning that means to feel after or to search for, literally to inspect by contact or to search for. To feel after Jesus is to search for truth. And he said so in John 8:32. He said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Then in John 17:17, he defined truth. He said it was God's word. 2 Timothy 2:15 states, "Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." There's an intimate feeling for involved in identifying true religion, but it's not found outside the pages of the New Testament. Tilt for the religious examiner has to do with inspection from an alternate angle. When talking about currency, it was about changing the literal angle of the bill, which they would examine, to reveal some of its marks. But for us, it's looking at the church from a spiritual perspective. God has never thought like us, and he revealed that in Isaiah 55 and verse 9 when he said, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." If we identify the church by the way it looks, or how worship feels for us, or the size of a congregation, or their youth group activities, or support groups that they create, are we not then focused on the physical? When we inspect the church from a spiritual level, we find that its benevolence and evangelism and edification are at the core of the choice, and they're far more satisfying than the foolish criteria man may put to search after the church, which in reality is not a church that belongs to Christ. Paul teaches us that God's focus has never been on external appearances. And in 2 Corinthians 4:16, the Bible says, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." The focus is on the spiritual being. Next, we have to hold the church being examined up to the light. Psalm 119:105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." We need the Bible as our light for a deeper examination of the true church and its builder. Jesus, who proclaimed in John 8:12, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." We need the light of Christ and the light of God's word to find the church. Without it, we would be subject to accepting a counterfeit. Lastly, we look at it, the portrait and the background patterns. If I were to hand you a $100 bill tonight and it had George Bush or Barack Obama's picture on it, you would know it was a fake because Benjamin Franklin is on the $100 bill. The portrait of the church is Jesus. And he said in Matthew 16:18 that he would build his church, belonging to him and singular. He is the chief cornerstone, according to Ephesians 2:20. When man's church has Buddha or Muhammad or Joseph Smith or Martin Luther or even today's contemporaries like Joel Osteen and not Jesus, it's a fake and it's not acceptable to God. No man comes to the Father except through me. It was Jesus who set that pattern in John 14:6. The Secret Service also inspects the background patterns. They are definite and they serve a purpose. And the purpose is very specific, just like the pattern of the church government set up with the elders and the deacons and the preacher and its members. And the pattern of worship established in the first century, worshiping in spirit and in truth, according to John 4:24. That's two components, the right attitude and the right action for it to be acceptable to God. Just like the pattern of salvation that we find in Acts 2 and Acts 8 and 9 and 10 and 16 and 22. Very specific. The Hebrew writer asked in Hebrews 2:3, "How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation?" If we want to be approved by God, we have to touch or to feel after, according to his word. We must tilt or examine from the spiritual point of view. We must look through with the light of God's word, and we must look at the patterns that God expects us to follow. Once we've determined currency is real, we know it has value, and we hold on to it. Have we examined our religion that closely? Have we determined it to be valuable? May this time together strengthen our resolve to serve the risen Savior every moment that we live. Are you an active examiner of your religion? Have you been baptized for the remission of your sins? It's an unmistakable pattern in the original church that we can read over and over and over again throughout the pages of the New Testament. 1 Peter 3:21 tells us that it's baptism that washes away man's sins. It also tells us that our faithfulness is rewarded, and it's a promise that God intends to make good on in the second part of Revelation 2:10. "Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life." We use this time to offer the Lord's invitation to anyone who is willing to render obedience to the gospel by confessing that Jesus is God's Son, by repenting of your sins, in your mind making a change that you'll walk in sin no more, and then you will be immersed in water to have your sins forgiven. It's also a time that we extend to Christians who may have strayed from godly living to ask for and receive forgiveness of sins from God. So if anyone has a need at this time, we invite you to come now as we stand and sing.